Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
I'm John Batchelor, and this is the Friends of the History Debating Society.
Malcolm Holland.
Yeah, Malcolm Holland. You're there, so I thought of Malcolm immediately. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm John Batchelor. This is the Friends of the History Debating Society. I welcome a charter member, Thaddeus McCotter, writing in American Greatness, to Cuba. These last days, the reports have been that there's disorder in Havana against the regime, no longer the Castro regime, a regime of strongmen. However, these reports are inexact and non-transparent. At the History Debating Society, we take what we know of history, what is analogous to where we are now, and put it together with what we are told. This is first, second, and third draft. These dots don't always connect. In fact, history might be one darn thing after another. However, Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. In your column, you bring much attention to the word authoritarianism, and that word being used routinely by the present administration in Washington about the Cuban regime. What is the significance of that sudden introduction in parlance in America that this is an authoritarian regime in Cuba? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, finally, you did see the president make some tepid remarks referring to the regime as communist. He didn't say communist Cuba, but everybody knew what he was talking about. He also said he didn't view socialism as a substitute. But unfortunately, what the president was doing in a less than Churchillian call to end the regime, he was basically commenting on the practicality of communism and socialism, where I would argue that he should be making a forceful statement about the immorality and the intrinsic evil of those systems and how they have to go. And so the fact that they didn't do that and would prefer to continue to call it authoritarian, I think is a huge mistake for this administration. Worse, I think, for the United States to look at, the left needs a communist Cuba. When you look at how they can, especially BLM and the rest of them, talk in AOC, and they talk about Cuba as if they're victims of an embargo, as if the communist regime is simply just a victim of the United States, that's a mistake. It undermines the entire protest put forward by the Cuban people who are demanding their freedom. I think it shows the total absence of empathy for the Cuban people, and it's a big mistake for them to sit there and say they want to remove the embargo, because that simply rewards the regime for oppressing, repressing, and butchering its own people.
You served in Congress when you were a member of Congress, and you have remained in close contact with colleagues who are Cuban Americans, who have represented the Cuban American community and Floridians in Congress and continue to serve them. Elena Ross Lentinen comes to mind immediately, and the Diaz-Balart brothers. What is the opinion, in your observation, of the diaspora living in Florida and New Jersey and other states of what we're learning about the brutality in Havana? What does the diaspora believe is the road forward?
Well, they've seen it, and you've got people on both sides of the aisle. Senator Menendez out of New Jersey has been a very strong advocate for the Cuban people. You've got newcomers joining Mario Diaz-Balart down there. You've got Representative Salazar that's a new member of Congress, is very vocal and very strong about this, who has come from Cuban roots, and they've seen the oppression up close. So I think that the way forward is to support the Cuban people, to continue the embargo, to make sure that this regime knows the eyes of the world are watching on it, allow for the internet to be restored down there, at least to help get the message out so that people can post the videos of the repression that is going on. The light that has to shine on this communist regime will disabuse people of the notion that communism is anything except an intrinsically evil system that is antithetical to the true fruition and growth of human beings.
That is, you and I both have children. They're millennials. And so I look in upon my children's education and I puzzle. Did they have the lesson to understand that communism is mass murder and darkness visible? Was that something that they were told when they were in grammar school or in high school?
My children understand it. My children are strong supporters, and they posted on Facebook, Cuba Libre. I'm very proud of them for doing that. And so I think that a lot of the millennials have seen this. Unfortunately, in today, and you've seen Governor DeSantis in Florida signed a bill to make sure that the horrors of communism were taught in schools. You have to understand that people have soft-pedaled this to entire generations, which is why they think socialism is somehow divorced from communism, whereas we both know it's a stage along the path to communism. And just because people couldn't get off the launch pad of socialism to attain communism is not a way to say that it'll work next time. It actually shows that it is a barbarous, failed ideology, and it has to be, just let the facts speak for themselves, but you got to get the facts out there.
A puzzle. The news reports that the administration has made announcements, strong announcements, I believe Homeland Security Secretary, that the Cuban people, if they attempt to escape to the U.S., will be turned back or will not be welcome. I think the same thing has been said about other places, but let's concentrate on Cuba.
About the Haitians.
Yes. What could be the thinking there? You've worked in Washington. You can puzzle this for me, because for 60 years, We've had the welcome mat out for Cubans who can escape who are being persecuted. And we know there are a lot of Cubans right now. The anecdotes are horror, being persecuted.
Well, it goes back to, again, the left needs a communist Cuba because they want to import many of the policies that are there in place in Cuba. And so socialized medicine springs right to mind. So if you have the people of Cuba saying that the system that produced that has adopted those policies and has intrinsically failed, is evil, and has to be overthrown, that the aspirations of the Cuban people for freedom have to surmount a communist regime, that does nothing for the American left that wants to import not the refugees, but the policies of the Cuban regime. So it's completely backwards, it's immoral, and I cannot understand how these people can sleep at night.
It's especially puzzling given the policy of the administration, if that's what it is, at the Mexican border, to welcome or to permit or in some fashion to vouchsafe a large number of people coming from many countries into the United States looking for asylum. And the asylum is another story, but the Cubans have a genuine case that anyone escaping Cuba is seeking asylum from brutality.
So think about it, John. This is a progressive, quote-unquote, democratic regime, democratic administration. So apparently they're more than happy to let people come here for economic reasons, but they're not going to grant asylum to people living under an oppressive communist system. That's absolutely backward.
The only other puzzle I can have is that in the second term of Mr. Obama and Mr. Biden recently, there was an attempt for rapprochement with Cuba. In fact, the president traveled to Havana and sat with Raul Castro in his final years as the boss of Cuba for a baseball game. I remember it vividly. Is that complicating Washington's response that the outreach did not succeed, that the protests are against a regime? No longer Raul Castro. His successors are in charge. Is that holding back Mr. Biden's hand?
Well, I think it's clearly holding back the American left from getting on board and trying to help the Cuban people throw off the shackles of this inhuman regime. So they have a problem. And so when you look at it, how can they import the policies if you're bringing refugees from this system, telling people whose very presence in the United States tells us that the failed policies of communist Cuba should not be brought to the United States? And, you know, the Democrats, I would say, look, as we talked about, support for Cuba should be bipartisan. And so I don't think that you should be worried about who's going to vote one way or another when they get to these shores any more than we should for anybody coming across by land, sea, or air.
Thaddeus McCotter, former member of Congress, but right now observing his many years of experience, what we do know about what's going on in Cuba. The anecdotes are horrible. We'll wait for more confirmation. But right now, the Cuban people are being persecuted by a regime, a faceless regime, that is supported by Ortega of Nicaragua, Vladimir Putin of Russia, the Ayatollah of Iran, the dictator in Caracas, Maduro, to name a few, supporting Havana. Havana is also being supported by reports of the narco-terrorists of the FARC, of the narco-terrorists of the ELN, of other narco-terrorist gangs across Central and South America, by report. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Looking for the perfect getaway in the heart of Red Rock Country? Discover Grand Plateau RV Resort in Kanab, Utah, where comfort meets adventure. Spacious RV sites, luxury cabins, and top-tier amenities make every stay unforgettable. Take a dip in the heated pool, relax in the spa, or unwind with private restrooms and pickleball too. Minutes from Zion, Bryce Canyon, and the Grand Canyon, Grand Plateau RV Resort is your ideal base camp for exploring the Southwest's natural wonders. And when the day winds down, enjoy starry skies and peaceful nights under the desert sky. Adventure, comfort, and convenience. That's Grand Plateau RV Resort. Book your stay today at gprvresort.com.